Welcome to Mafia, a new podcast telling stories of America's criminal underworld.
Gotti assumed the position of head of the Gambino family.
And using the name Donnie Brasco, I was able to infiltrate the Bonanno crime family in New York City.
Bugsy Siegel is an American mob legend.
One man changed the whole texture and landscape of crime in America.
Listen to Mafia every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You have now entered the battlefield of Tout Wars.
I'm an asteroid, can't you see?
Well, Sunday. This is a Tout Wars Hour, and I am indeed Laura Michaels from Creatorsports.com. With me as well, geez, it's been a while actually, Justin, since we've been on the show together. Justin Mason from Friends with Fantasy Benefits, and also with me today is Todd Zola from MastersBall.com. What's different today is we're going to review Tout Wars, this being Tout Wars weekend, but since we're all in New York, we're all in the studio together, so this is like the first time Justin and I have been in the same room, let alone with Todd broadcasting the show. It's the first time we've been in the studio together doing the show, so this is great. We're all actually face to face, so that's a pretty good thing. We are here for Tout Wars weekend. You know, a funny thing happened, though, you guys, because as we all know, usually when on a normal Sunday show, I would have a special guest, and all the touts were here, so there were like 50 of us here, so I thought it would be no problem finding a special guest for Sunday, except since we did the draft differently and had all four drafts on Saturday, everybody started to go home. So that means you get the three of us for the whole 2 hours. That's the Tout Wars Hour plus one. But I think we can both keep you entertained. I think maybe we can take some questions with a little luck from you if you want to dial in. We're going to go through all four of the drafts done yesterday. One objectively, the mix. That's because none of us was in it, and Justin was in the head-to-head, so he'll talk about that. Todd, the National League, he'll talk about that. And I'm going to talk about the American League. So, and one other thing, though, before we start, launch into it, I do want to remind everybody about the Steve Moyer Fund. Our friend Steve Moyer, who passed away a little over a week ago, was a founder of Tout Wars. We have started a GoFundMe to support his daughters, Mary and Harmony. If you would go to GoFundMe.com/Steve Moyer Kids Fund, you have a chance to look at a little glimpse of Steve's life, his children, and have a chance to donate in his memory to help support the family. So if you would go do that, that would be much appreciated by all of us, including Steve and his family. So it was a busy day yesterday. We were on Staten Island. I guess I'll start with you, Justin, since it's been so long since we talked like this. Anything you walked away from the draft with, just the day in general, weekend, blah, blah?
I mean, I had a great time. It was a fantastic experience, being able to draft my own team and then getting to hang out with all the touts. I think four drafts in one day, man, you guys who run the show must be pretty beat, because I know by the end of it, I was pretty beat. So it was a really great experience. I like the ballpark and being able to draft inside of the clubhouse, which is pretty cool. So it was a fantastic experience, and I think it went off without a hitch.
It was your first official tout draft. Did you feel more comfortable than you did last year? And that gets an asterisk because you were sort of pulled into service at the last moment last year. But was the whole thing a different experience for you this time?
It was and it wasn't. I think there was still some nervousness. We'll get to my draft a little bit later on, but I did something pretty outside of the box. And so there's always a little bit of fear when you're trying to do something against the grain and against the mainstream to try to kind of maybe turn something on its head a little bit. And then it's also my first, first time. It's mine. It's not. I'm not just turning this over to Stefania and saying, here, now you get, here you go. I don't have any responsibility. And if it goes badly, this one is, if this one crashes and burns, it's all mine.
There you go. How about you, Z? I mean, we've been doing this together for about the same 18 years, right? Something like that? Long, long time.
I'm allowed to talk before 3:30?
Yes, you are allowed. But get closer. Yeah, there you go.
I'm like on top of the mic.
All right, let's try this again.
There we go.
The joke's kind of silly now. I mean, it's the silly before, but I'm allowed to talk before 3:30?
Yes.
Okay. We both are part of the board that runs it, so we had a little nervousness going in anytime we try something new. So we had a little bit of cautious optimism, and it turned out to be pretty darn good. People had some fun batting practice, little lockers. Everybody had their name with some jerseys and a little bit of a go bag to take with them, and kind of neat drafting in a locker room and in an exercise room where they cleared them out for us. So yeah, it turned out to be a really good day. We had access to the park. Some guys took some tours, and it worked out really well.
Well, you know, if it was Justin's first draft as a drafter, it was your first draft as a board member, and I mean, I've been helping putting the thing together for 15 years, so I'm pretty used to it. And I got a bit of a break this year, fortunately, because my draft was later too. That was helpful, and the guys helped me keep my energy. But did you feel any kind of different level of ownership or responsibility? Because as Justin said, it's four drafts in one day, even when it's 2 days. As I'm sure you can really see now, there's an awful lot of stuff to try to coordinate and make work.
I was sort of on the periphery as far as doing some of the auctioneering and doing some of the work with the spreadsheet. So I had kind of been involved with that sort of thing. But being a new venue, there were a couple hiccups early on, which I was, you know, more than helping, I was responsible for this time. So getting people with internet and getting people, make sure everybody was there. So it all worked out. I mean, everybody's giving us a head tap, on Twitter. We got to give the people in Tout kind of an applause just for being a little bit patient with us and with the venue to get everything set up. It did get set up and it did run perfectly fine, but it in part was due to the patience of the Touts, especially the early ones, who put up a little bit. I can't get on the internet. We'll get you on. And eventually, we got everybody on, got everybody drafted, got everybody fed, and hopefully, everybody likes their teams.
Hopefully, if they don't today, they're in bad shape. I would think, unless they're mistaken and their teams turn out to be wonderful. But anytime you do a new venue, and this was a new venue, there's always going to be some glitches. You don't know the lay of the land. That's true with trying anything a first time, I think, for the most part, like that. But I tried to tweet out yesterday, even on top of the lovely comments by, I think, initiated by Vlad Sedler, mm-hmm. even just saying, you know, what a great weekend and thanking the board. And we do need an extra nod to Peter Kreutzer, who lives in the area and handled the bulk of logistics and coordination for us. And again, you might not, behind the scenes, even some of the Touts might not get how much is involved with looking at contracts, picking a venue, making sure that there's enough bandwidth for Sirius to be able to broadcast live, making sure there's space for them, making sure we've got auctioneers, making sure we got people to do the tracking board. There's a lot. It's a lot more than just, oh, let's go draft. And Peter managed the bulk of that for us and did a fantastic job. But what I tried to comment on, it was certainly a great weekend and it worked out really well. But, you know, the Touts are a great community of it's a great fellowship. And, you know, to all of us, this is largely our home league. And that's kind of a fun thing. And I mean, that's one reason I'm willing to fly 6,000 total miles round trip just to play.
Probably I should also give a little golf round of applause, or maybe even a standing ovation to Lenny Melnick, Andrew Lamont, and Craig mm-hmm. Mish for being our liaison to the park. And not just that, the guys in the park, Adam and his crew, they went above and beyond what they told us they would do when we actually got there. I don't know if it was in part to sort of make up for the internet glitch at the beginning, but they gave personal tours, and they're baseball fans, and some are fantasy players. So they were all over that. It worked out really, really well. The weather was fine. The ferry ride, I had never been on the ferry ride. In the ferry ride home, I didn't even realize we were moving.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's dark, and you know, you weren't looking for the Statue of Liberty like we were on the way out. So it's like, when are we going to move? Well, we're there. Oh, okay.
You mean you missed the Statue of Liberty at night, which was gorgeous. I tried to take a picture, though, and it was a massive failure. But, yeah, it was a great ferry ride. And you're right. I mean, this all was initiated via Lenny and Andrea. And you know, I think it Well, it's premature, but certainly we got plenty to work with, and it's great. We've always been looking for a permanent yeah. home for Tout, and if that's the possibility and we stay there, it'll only get better. I know that. Just because, as noted, the first time through anything, you got your glitches. Now we know what to expect. Well, you were at you drafted in the ice chest last year for Stefania. I was actually here at Rock and Riley's, and that was kind of by proxy because there was too much noise in the room we had. So we went up to a conference room that was not prepared, and it was very cold in there. If you didn't have your
Paul Sporer was in a lot of pain.
Well, he's like me. He's a kind of an ectomorph, and we get cold real easy.
I don't know what anybody was complaining about. I was sweating.
Well, I had told Paul yesterday that we were going to be drafting on the field. So,
but you're a scientist, Todd, and I'm an artist. I get cold. You are impervious to
the science of adipose tissue, perhaps.
Whatever works, brother. But it was cold. But it was cold in that little room last year. But the room yesterday was fine. Actually, you were in the smaller room. We were in the locker room. Mm-hmm. How was it? Was it fine in there?
Yeah, it was perfect. I mean, you had enough room to move around if you wanted to, though. I don't think really anybody did. It was cozy, and that head-to-head group is a fun group.
It was a lot of hot air. I mean, lot of hot air
for sure.
You were even the ringmaster, weren't you, Z?
You know what, since I'm sort of handing out applause for people, I gotta thank Jake Seeley, Skippy Seeley, for putting up with my antics. I kept getting his name wrong, and I've known Jake for years. He's Jake. And towards the end, it became a joke. I mean, I was purposely playing it up. But in the middle, it wasn't a joke. I was just spaced out and skipping over him, not giving him his turn. He'd call it a bid, and I'd give it to somebody else, to Paul or whatever. So towards the end, we were at the last reserve in his last pick. So I'm calling out the name. So I skipped over his name before, the last reserve. And he took his papers and he threw them up in the air. I got to thank Jake for being a good sport.
Now Skippy makes all a complete. All I see is North American Fantasy Football League team of Where's Skippy.
Yeah.
Where my head. This is Todd's, what, your sister's dog is Skippy?
Yep.
So. His team moniker is named for said beast, so when I heard Skippy, that's where I went. It's a logical connection.
Well, when you want to come up with a goofy name for somebody, I'm just going to call you, I don't need a real name, I'm just going to call you Skippy. So, anyway.
Well, I'm one of the things I've learned as I've gotten older is the cute names that we come up with people for when they're younger to irritate them, they don't necessarily work quite as well as we get older. In fact, it's like, geez, that's not a very nice thing to do, to call somebody a name they don't like to be called. So I'm going to check with Skippy before I actually call him that.
I think I'd stick with Jake.
Yeah, I think I'd stick with
Jake. I don't know. Skippy sounds good.
Well, you're right, closer to his age. He could probably beat the crap out of me because I'm an old man. But you're still young.
Jake strikes me as a pacifist. I don't think he's coming after you anytime soon.
Well, part of the problem was both he and Paul are very soft-spoken, and they were sitting right next to each other. So I was mistaking the two of them a lot of the time. But a few of the times it wasn't. And it was a long day. It's no excuse. But I was up at 6 or 6:30 to get to the ferry. I did my own auction, and then I was auctioneering, and this was 14 hours later.
You did a fantastic job, Todd. I mean, considering, like you said, fun. You were up that early doing stuff all day.
It's not a huge deal.
Again, it is, and I've always, I'm not as young and strong as I used to be, which I hate to say, but which is the truth and which everybody knows. So I was kind of exonerated from having to be there. I've always been at the draft an hour early, make sure stuff was there, just because I'm anal and overly responsible and compulsive, but other than that, just because I want the thing to work correctly, and I always stay till the end, and I just can't do it anymore. So I was grateful. I actually woke up at 9:05 and went, and then went, oh, I don't have to be there till 3:00, because I mean, it takes an hour to get from 27th Street, East 27th to Staten Island, and I had 5 minutes if my draft was going to start at 9:00. But you guys all pitched in, and I really, but it's a long day. It's very hard. It's a long day, and there's a lot to do. And in addition, you're not only you auctioneered, you helped oversee things, Z, and you also drafted. Those are That's a hydra there.
We'll discuss whether I drafted or not a little bit later.
Okay, you selected a team. You had to go through the motion. Going through the motions. I know you're a Blue Oyster Cult fan.
When you emailed, you asked, you know, I'm on my way, guys. Can I bring anything? I felt like writing back, yeah, internet and food would be nice. But I didn't want to get you all riled. I didn't want to get you riled up long distance. And it was under control, and it really was a... It's more of a joke comment than it is a real thing, that's all.
It was interesting, though, that in order to get to where the food was, we had to go through the men's locker room into the exercise room, I said, where's the bathroom? And they pointed, and I said, the food's on the other side. And I went, I feel a little skeptical about the bathroom, but now that you told me the food's on the other side, I feel even worse about that.
Yeah, so. And I'm pretty sure Chris List did not want to carry the food through the locker room. Yeah. He made a point of eating it in the room that was served.
Yeah,
well, then, I was with him on that. That just seemed like a better course of action.
Well, I saw somebody emerge from the bathroom with a hot dog and kind of a little nonplussed, shall we say. It was actually pretty good food. I had a sandwich, so, and I found something comforting in eating potato chips called Uncle Ray's. I've never had Uncle Ray's potato chips before, but somehow they seem kind of homegrown to me, you know. Yeah.
I'll tell you, the Yankee fans in the group had a real, it was a Yankees locker room, mm-hmm. So the Yankees insignias and their logos and their sayings and their, you know, they had a real good time taking pictures by the, mm-hmm. you know, first places, you know, second places, first loser, all the different respect and, you know, all those sorts of things. And there are several Yankee fans in the crowd. So they particularly enjoyed being in a, you know, it was fun for all of us to be in a pro locker room, but the Yankee fans got a little bit more of it, and rightfully so. I mean,
do you think Glenn and Tim, who would be Glenn Colton and Tim Heaney, who are serious Yankee fans, do you think they were kind of basking in the what is it Homer Simpson would say, they were basking in the glowing glow of their glow?
Check their Twitter feeds. The answer to the question is right there.
Okay, we're getting closer. Actually, I thought I never heard the 2-minute cue, so we're going to come back in with some road obituaries and stuff like that. And then we're going to look at the AL mixed draft, I believe. This is the Tout Wars Hour. You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Stay tuned for more.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
That's the way to do it, Pete. I want to thank Pete, our producer, who, I guess you must just know I love the Foo Fighters. In fact, I've played that song live a few times. I've got to sing it. Learn to Fly, I love it. Anyway, you are at the Tout Wars Hour. This is Laura Michaels from CreativeSports.com. I'm with Justin Mason from Friends with Fantasy Benefits and Todd Zola from MastersBall.com. And we're in the studio, which is really fun, in New York, which is really fun. We're reviewing Tout Wars, which is really fun. My cousin Richard's in the studio with us, which is really, really fun. Nothing personal, Justin. Then he got an extra adverb. But anyway, I got a little business to take care of. First, I want to remind everybody about the Steve Moyer Fund. Again, the weekend, we're trying to remember our friend Steve. You could go to GoFundMe.com/Steve Moyer Kids Fund and take a look and maybe donate towards his family. That would be a great thing. Second of all, what you need to do if you want to really play in the Ultimate League is check out Fantrax.com. At Fantrax, you can create the ultimate dynasty keeper or redraft league using Fantrax's free commissioner product. You can find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus their player salary and contract options at your fingertips, all of which are completely customizable, meaning you get to set them the way you want. With Fantrax, there's a treasurer, and you can set your league entry fees and safely distribute payouts to a third party, so that means you don't even have to track anybody in your league down that might be a deadbeat dad. And if you enter the promo code AL, that's for Al, our pal on Fantasy, Al Melchior, at the sign-up chance. You get a chance to win one of 10 private consultations with the Fantasy Baseball Hour host, Al Melchior, which is actually $100 value. So go to Fantrax. Tim at the site is great to work with, a great guy. They do a lot of good stuff there. So again, that's Fantrax.com for the ultimate in Fantasy Dynasty Keeper Leagues. A couple of other little things. I didn't get a chance to do Roto-Bituaries. Sorry, guys. We'll get to the Mixed League in a second. But I did want to acknowledge the passing of Stephen Hawking, 76. He was a scientist, philosopher, mathematician, and above all, a comedian. He was on The Simpsons and never took himself too seriously. Nookie Edwards, the Ventures guitar player, if you know Walk, Don't Run, passed away. If you were a Ramones fan, Nookie played a Moe's Right guitar, which he bought at Manny's on 44th Street, and which Johnny Ramone coveted, and that's what he played and modeled himself after originally. The New Orleans Saints owner Tom Benson, at the age of 90, passed away the last week. Claudia Fontaine, backup singer for Pink Floyd on Dark Side of the Moon, along with Claudia Lanier, passed away, age 57. Hubert de Givenchy, the clothes designer, passed away, age 90. You design clothes unless you're Giovanni Versace. You get to live to be old, right? Marie Franco, a Brazilian politician and civil rights leader, was actually assassinated this last week in Rio de Janeiro. And Ken Houston, former hockey player with the Flames and the Capitals, who was 64. And finally, a guy I remember, Ed Charles, who was 84, third baseman for the Royals and the Mets from 62 to 69, played 1,005 games, 263, 86, 421 line with 86 swipes. And as a rookie, he actually, with the Royals in 62, he hit 288, 17, 74, which is pretty good. And finally, one little shout out. I need to say hey to our friend Joan Borromée. Joan's had a lot of health challenges over the last bunch of months, and we've been her dog JJ, who my wife Diane tends to. Joan, we've been caring for JJ while Joan's been working on getting better. Anyway, just thinking you good thoughts, Joan, and JJ's a great dog, and we love having him, but we'd rather you had him. So with that, with all that paid advertising and some not, Mixed League, I'm just going to go straight to you guys because I talked long enough and I need a drink of water. Todd, anything you take away from the mixed draft? And mind you, none of the three of us was in that one, so we're all casual observers.
Typical mixed draft in that people weren't afraid to pay top dollar for the top players, figuring that they would be able to get someone they like at the back end. Just looking at defending champ Jeff Zimmerman's roster, Mike Trout, 56. That's it's probably more than a lot of people were expecting to pay. I read a note where he said he was willing to go even higher than that. Then when you can fill him with Mitch Haniger and Kevin Pillar at 2 and at 1, that's why you do that sort of, or at least that's why some people do that sort of thing, is because you can backfill. Going through the pitching, same sort of thing. Max Scherzer went for 40. Chris Sale went for 40. That's okay, but they both went to the same gentleman, Brett Sayre, prospectus. And not only that, he filled it with Craig Kimbrell at 22. Thing you got to remember in these tout leagues is that there's trading. Until now, there's been some industry leagues, there's been other stuff, but we're mainly high stakes leagues of what people have been talking about because that's all that's there, and there's no trading. There is trading in these leagues. You can draft for, you want to call it value, you can draft for stats, and you can trade for balance later. And contrary to popular belief, especially in the mixed leagues, there is trading. I think some of the old mantras that you can't trade in these industry leagues. I think they may, in previous leagues when there's only AL and NL and that's about it, I think it's true. But even in the AL and NL now, there's more trading. So you can't blame these guys at all for going all out and drafting where they think they got the good numbers and, you know, getting balance later.
How about you, Justin? Any walkaways?
Yeah, I mean, like Todd, I was interested to see what the kind of early pricing was. I was surprised to see Trout go for 56. And then, you know, some other guys went a little bit more than maybe I would have priced him at, but people went stars and scrubs for the most part in this draft. Not many people really tried to play kind of a more balanced middle approach, which would be my typical strategy for a 15-team mixed auction. So it was interesting kind of seeing the end game. You know, some of these guys, you know, the Jacob Frias of the world, the Kevin Pillars of the world, the Mitch Hanniger's of the world, going for only a few bucks here and there. Because it gave whoever had the hammer at the end a lot of wiggle room to kind of fill out their roster the way they did. And I thought it was a really interesting strategy that Brett did, getting both Scherzer and Sale at $40 a piece, putting a lot in the top of that rotation. He's going to have a really nice head start in the pitching categories as long as those guys stay healthy.
It's true. $80 is a lot. But in the FSTA draft, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association draft, which is a snake draft, and in that one, Rick Wolf and Glenn Colton basically took, I think they took Kluber, Kluber and Scherzer instead of Sale, but same principle, and their idea was there's only X number of 200-inning pitchers, and there's only X number of 200-inning pitchers who are going to get 200 strikeouts, and I'm taking two of them, and everybody else has to operate out of the depth they're in.
And unlike the drafts that you guys are in, the AL and the NL, there's replacement value.
Yes.
You know, it'd be really hard to pull something like that off in an American League, League or National League. But in 15 teams, it's not super, shallow or anything. But if guys get hurt, you're going to have a pool to pick from as opposed to not having anybody to pick from.
The thing I fall back on in a league like that, it's not like it's so shallow. You don't need waiters or anything like that. But the idea, probably out of the free agent pool, we could put together, when the season ends, we could put together a competitive lineup out of guys that weren't taken, which means 23 guys, 25 guys, 20 guys out there who are going to put up impacting numbers. And if you're on top of it, those are the guys you can pick up and make up the difference. So you're absolutely right with that. I hate to say even 60 was enough to pay for Trout, but I think it was deep enough. And I've kind of tried to give it up. I've for years and years and years I've played that split the middle, and I think in these days of strikeouts and homers, I'm beginning to think that by sort of just exploiting $23 players, I'm ending up with an ADP team, which means I might have a bunch of nice players with nice rankings, but I kind of end up with an average team, and I just don't want to do that, or I want to try to avoid that. I don't know. Does that make any sense? You're the numbers guy, Z. Does that?
Well, yes. Well, if you're paying 23 and you think the guys were 28 or 9, then it's still pretty good. If you're paying 23 for guys that are worth 23, it's the same as anytime you pay at the number. It doesn't matter if it's 56 or 1. It is what it is. But keep in mind, these are OBP leagues, and Trout's even more valuable in an OBP league. But take a look at Brett's roster. He went high upside through the entire Chris Davis, Hanley Ramirez, who has been named the first baseman, Jason Kipnis trying to fight for a job. Jose Ramirez is probably going to be okay. Addison Russell's kind of a buy low. We know why you got Billy Hamilton, but Ronald Acuna, if he breaks camp after two, if we knew he was breaking camp after 2 weeks, he would have cost more than 16. Schwarber's a high upside jock. He went high upside, which is kind of cool because he doesn't need those all to hit. He needs just a couple of those guys to hit, make a trade out of the pitching, and I think he's in business.
And I watched the end of this auction. He did a really good job in the M game managing not only his money, but realizing where everybody else was in terms of their money. And so if you see Jock Peterson for two, you see Zach Cozart for two, you see Hanley for one, you see Carlos Gomez for two, you know, he made sure to throw these guys out at those dollar amounts to make sure that no one was going to come in and swipe it. And it was just a really, really well-played draft by Brett. And I like, you know, the bargains that he got at the end of the draft. Zach Cozart, I know people are, you know, maybe don't think that the park change is going to be very good for him, but at $2, what's the risk? And being in that lineup, which is going to be fantastic, should help. So I really like what he did towards the end of that draft to make up for kind of the amount of money he spent at the beginning.
Right. It's true. I really love Jason Kipnis at $7 and Addison Russell at $4 also, but at catcher too, I mean, he's not the low end of the spectrum. There were Al and DVR, Derek Van Riper, both went $2 on catchers, $2 $1 guys. But Brent just went $8 between Brian McCann and Robinson Chirinos. And it's an on-base league. That's $30 less than the high end. And that was Brent Hershey. We have Brent, who did Wilson Contreras and Austin Barnes. And I like both of those guys, but he spent $30 more, I think for the allocation, I just like the way that that Mr. Sayre allocated, as you guys indicated, a little better than Brent. Than Mr. Hershey, and Hershey got a pretty good team too. I'm not knocking that. I like the way he allocated and managed the game.
You can make the argument that there. You talk about replacement. There's not a whole water replacement at catcher. Mm-hmm. So you may need to pay for the catcher, so you're underpricing or underbuying some other positions, and there you're going to upgrade. It's kind of, you know, I don't know, it's baseball season, you know, football, but you know, you pay for a tight end, and then you can always upgrade your other positions. So that you don't have to do that either. But the point being, maybe that was what they were thinking. Is you know, I'm not going to get a Wilson Contreras on the waiver wire. Not that you're going to get Mike Trout on the waiver wire either. But the guy that does come up, you know, would be closer. In a mixed league, I like to do that. I'll look for the guys in the middle. I mean, I like what Zach did from your site, Lar. Willian Castillo and Yasmani Grandal. Grandal's great in OBP. Paid a total of 11. So if I had to pick, you know, which two catchers would you want on, you know, any of these teams, I may go for a buddy Zach's, and I may take Castillo and Grandal.
He actually, because that was another spot I was looking at that seemed to be really stars and scrubs, and that was, corner Will anyway, but first third base, it had this wide range, and he sort of split the middle. He got Santana for $20, Moose for $12, and Lucas Duda for $3. And I kind of noticed that Duda went for $3, Joe Mauer went for only $1. And granted, Joe Mauer has seen his better days. Joe Mauer still makes a lot of money. Joe Mauer is still going to play every day, and Joe Mauer is still a .380 on base percentage guy. So that's a buy. Don't you guys think that's a pretty good buy for what he got?
Better in OBP than mm-hmm. a batting average league, although it's not terrible batting average league. But yeah, because of the OBP, and that team's going to score some runs. So you're right; he's not going to get the power, but for a dollar at a corner or a utility, you could do. He's going to, I mean, if he wasn't drafted, he's going to be in someone's lineup with injuries at some point anyway. So. Why not? Put him on your roster.
Yeah,
I still think there is this prevalent thought that you have to get power at first base.
Yeah.
And I'll take the stats wherever they come. Like, if I get a Joe Mauer, that means I'm spending more on a big power bat somewhere else. Give me a Chris Davis, he'll make up for it. But the Mauer gives you that safe OBP floor in an OBP league that is very important.
Right.
And actually, I believe he got Jonathan Scope at second base.
Mm-hmm.
So he loses a little by Duda at the corner, but he makes up for it with Scoop and actually Marcus Semien. And even his middle is great. He's got Arcia, Scoop, and Semien. Those guys collectively could hit 55, 60 homers. So, that's pretty good out of your middle infield. And you know, he's still got Moose and Santana on the other side at first base. So he's still going to generate some pop in the infield, don't you think?
Yeah. And auctions are all about putting the puzzle together. It doesn't matter how it goes together. It just has to go together at the end of it.
Right. I mean, so we just named the guys in the middle, but someone out there is saying, well, he didn't have any speed for the middle. No, he doesn't. But he picked Mookie Betts and Lorenzo Cain and Jonathan Shields in the outfield, and he's got Mabrum in his utility. Cameron Maben. So he's got the speed in the outfield. So you add it up, the different pathway to get there, but he's got the numbers he needs.
And actually, I think RC is capable of 20 swipes anyway. He's not Mookie Betts. I'll acknowledge that. What were you going to say, Justin, or was it Z?
I'll say Semien will get 10 and 15 too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But they're not known for their speed. I mean, you look at them, you go, oh, he's got his speed in the middle. He's got some sneaky speed in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the idea too is if he can finish fourth or fifth in steals and finish third or fourth in homers and third or fourth in RBI and third or fourth in on base percentage, he's going to have one of the best offensive teams there is, and that's that, and rather simply too. So there's, you know, and you guys are totally right. It's all puzzle. It's how the puzzle fits in your head, how you think it'll work for you, and that's one of the reasons I sort of. Not just ADP, I don't care about, but when people say, oh, you should have taken this guy for the first round. Well, it's how you envision the puzzle pieces, you know, subjectively fitting together in your mind's eye, how you think. I think this combination of puzzle pieces will give me the Statue of Liberty, not the Eiffel Tower or whatever, you know, if that's what you're aiming for. So, I mean, don't you guys agree with that? It's all, I always build my team around the first pick, and to a large degree, I'm not really sure who my first guy is going to even be half the time.
I mean, that's the beauty of an auction is you don't have to worry about things like ADP or when a guy is going to go. You just fire your bullets when the guy comes up. And if you miss out on someone, you just have to change the configuration a little bit and come up with a different puzzle. And you take the bargain. So.
And for sure, in a mixed league, 15 team that's a little bit deeper, you could take a few more chances like that. We're going to move on. I think we're going to go to the National League, and Todd will highlight that next. You are indeed listening to the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Tout Wars Hour. I am Justin Mason of Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Joined me by Laura Michaels and Todd Zola. We're going to talk about the NL-only auction at Tout Wars yesterday. But first, I want to remind you guys about Fantasy Factor. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter price pools, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on. Right now, free entry March Madness brackets, Sweet 16 brackets. Fantasy Factor is running $100,000 home run derby contest this year. Simply sign up and enter www.fantasyfactor.com. So we're going to move on to the NL only auction. Todd, that's where your team was drafted. Let's talk a little bit about that. Did you have a strategy coming in, and did it work out the way you'd hoped?
Oh, I kind of wanted to buy good players.
that's always a good start.
Well, okay, did it work?
I was coming off a second-to-last place finish, so I don't want to say I had anything to prove, but I left last year's auction. I knew I had a terrible team. I didn't want to have that same feeling again. So I think it worked out well. I went back to the well, and I got my Joey Votto. Remember, it's an OBP league. I don't know if he was the most expensive hitter. He should have been. But I mean, at 41, we talked about Trout before, and even in an only league, you're still paying in the 40s for Trout and Altuve in the AL. So, I mean, 41 is not outrageous for the best player in an OBP league. I know he doesn't run, but he does everything else Joey Votto does. So, yeah, I went back to the well. I used him 2 years ago when it didn't leave the auction feeling so bad. As a matter of fact, it felt really good when the year was over that year. So, and then the rest, I don't necessarily have plans. I want to see where pitching's going to go. I want to get a pretty good pitcher. I want to get him at the right number. And my first pitcher was Luis Castillo. It's somewhat of a risk at 17, but if you take a look at some of the other pitching prices, I think it was right in line. If not, I bought him because I felt the number was better than some of the others. We got a Yu Darvish at a 25, and Scherzer went for 40, and Noah Syndergaard in his lack of innings last year went for 29. Aaron Nola went for 22. So I don't feel bad about a $17 Luis Castillo. And, whenever you do an NL auction, the first thing you have to, one of the first questions you have to ask yourself are, to Kershaw or not to Kershaw. And usually Derek Cardi and I battle out for Clayton Kershaw, and I always let Derek win. I always push him a couple bucks more than he wants to go, but, I let him win. This year, neither of us were on him, and Kershaw went 39 to our friend Mike Gianella. It's a good rammer, but I don't know if it's even the injury risk. I just didn't want to – I'm more comfortable building – I feel like I could build a good pitching staff, and I don't need Kershaw or Scherzer. And I got Robbie Ray and Castillo for 40, and that's what Scherzer and Kershaw went for. So I'm not saying, you had a dollar, Kershaw and Julius Cicin are equal to Castillo and Ray. I don't play that game. I may have overpaid a little bit for Robbie Ray, but science, humidor.
I like those guys just fine. And actually, that's closer. That's kind of what I was trying to do in the American League, which we'll get to next segment. But I also really like what you did with your relievers. You got Aroldis Vizcaino. Sorry, the Aroldis for 14, 10 bucks. You got Brandon Morrow for 13, and then Brad Boxberger for 4. So what? That's a collective 25 bucks or something like that. You spent or 27 bucks for basically three guys who could get you 50, 60 saves. And I mean, those are all very good innings eaters with strikeouts. Was that by design, or were you just trying to kind of split it, figuring out at least I'll hit the head on one of three guys. Well, it's pretty sure Vizcaino and Morrow are going to be closers, but it's an ephemeral position. So
right.
Anyway, I'll let you talk about it.
Well, I'm not in an only league. My first thought, well, one of the things about the NL Tout Wars, we know that Lenny Melnick's going to go down the listings, put each closer out for a dollar because he's not going to buy a closer, and we all know that. So I like to let Lenny do my dirty work and nominate the closer so I get a feel for what the prices are going to be. I'm not against Kenley Jansen. Matter of fact, Tristan Cockcroft got him at 26. I was the one that said 25. So that was, you know, if he came in at the number, I'd lock down Jansen. I love the strikeouts and the ratios, but 26 is a little bit more than I wanted to go. But the irony, and Tristan and I were talking about this when we were done, he spent 26 for Jansen. As you mentioned, I spent 27 for the other three. I like Vizcaino. I feel he's going to have a really good year. I'll take my chances with Morrow. And Boxberger was just the money management at the end. I had the money, others didn't. And why not? Even if he might not get saves, he's still going to get strikeouts. In an NL-only league, that's pretty important. You don't need seven starters and two closers. You're going to want a middle reliever in there to help the ratios and the whatnot. So I was not against that at all. And if I happen to have an excess, if Arizona names Brad Boxberger the closer, then I send an email out or, you know, try to move the guy right away to because I do have a couple holes in the offensive end. Or I build up the excess. You know, I build up the saves because I don't, maybe Morrow gets hurt and I'll regret having traded him. I might be able to work from a little bit of strength in that. We'll see how it goes.
And actually, for a guy who ostensibly punted saves too, when he did okay on $2 spent between Sam Dyson and Pat Neshek.
That's what he always does. Sometimes it works.
Exactly. Not that I would, you know, bet the bank that either of them winds up with a closer job. On the other hand, both of them are capable. Neshek actually had. He's a little older, but he had a monster good year last year. And Dyson came back around when he was with the Giants. So certainly either one of them is an equal crapshoot to Boxberger, I would guess. And that's only $2 spent. So that was money well allocated on Lenny's behalf. Were you surprised at all that Scherzer actually went for a buck more than Kershaw? Or does it sort of make sense, bearing in mind Scherzer's durability? Scherzer's not nearly as much of an injury question, or at least not that all pitchers aren't an injury waiting to happen. But
it isn't. It isn't. I mean, flip 40-39-70. I think we probably should have said at the beginning. You can see these rosters if you go to the toutwars.com site. There's a series of articles introducing the participants. At any of them, it says click here to follow along. Click on that link, and you can go back afterward. You know, all the rosters will be there. That's where they'll be archived all year long. On Tout Wars. So, I'm not too surprised. Some people have Scherzer ranked ahead of Kershaw. In some drafts, I've seen Scherzer taken before Kershaw with the injury risk. So we got to remember, I mean, Scherzer's getting up there too. He's not hurt, but, you know, that's not to say he won't get hurt. And, I mean, this time last year, remember we were all worried about his knuckle? Mm-hmm. Will he be able to use the new grip?
And his first ever DL stint this year?
Yeah, that seemed to work out well for the new grip with Scherzer. But, yeah, I wasn't too surprised. And, the one I was watching was Greinke because he may be let's see, we're 3 hours, 2 hours. I'm not sure the you know, clock math is hard, especially in Arizona when I'm not sure which daylight savings are on or not. But Greinke was going to have a bullpen, and I mentioned the humidor or science in the humidor. He's a top five pitcher for me if he's healthy, and that was the other, you know, forget Kershaw. My thing, am I going to take a discount on Greinke? And I would have, but he went up a little higher than I thought, because I still felt I could get the other guys. So he's got the bullpen today. People say, well, he's worried about his arm. He's always worried about his arm. Every year he thinks he's going to retire on opening day because he can't throw a fastball. And most years he ends up challenging for the Cy Young. So I'm not as concerned. But today's bullpen, check the notes. We'll have a lot more about him. So if he misses his first start, It won't be a big deal. You know, he'll still get 31 or 32 in over the course of the year, but did not take the discount. There was a bit of a discount, but he was falling in recent drafts, and I'll be curious to see where he went this past weekend in some of the high stakes. He went for 24, which
that's a buck more than you paid for Robbie Ray.
Right, but I probably would have gone up to 28 or 9 had he not had any health concerns, but there was you want to take the best players at price, but I happen to have a lot of Zach Greinke in other areas, and I don't want to necessarily diversify. I just had a feeling I could get Robbie Ray, and I jumped him a bit, but The strikeout, but him and Castillo, how many strikeouts is that going to be?
That's 450? Just a ton of strikeouts, and it's a ton of upside. And you got to love Robbie Ray with the humor.
Everybody loves Robbie Ray at this point.
I did something a little different with the bats. I kind of said I'm going to take prospects in the reserve. What I did is I went over my reserves from previous seasons. I never used that guy. I dropped him. He was terrible. I never used that. So I never used my reserves.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always the guy that's not going to take a minor leaguer because he's a minor leaguer. He can't help me. Well, my reserves didn't help me anyway. So I did not end up drafting a minor leaguer, but I did not like any of the middle infielders when I needed one. And there was Scott Kingery, and I have Cesar Hernandez. So I bought my first reserve for 7 units and ended up backfilling with Greg Garcia, who I would have probably paid a buck for to be my middle infielder anyway. So, it's kind of a hedge for Hernandez, and I got my middle reliever. I got my middle infielder. Then, we always say you're going to be nimble, ready to, when David Dahl stopped at 6, I had no intention of – I actually put him out there to try to get money to really own the end game, get him out there for 10 or 11, so I really had the hammer. But when he stopped at 6, I was like, I'll take him for 6. All right, so I'll have to put someone on reserve in case he gets sent down, go back to the hotel, and I read that it might be Ryan McMahon that's sent down. And if they're sending McMahon down, they're probably not sending Dahl down, at least early on. So then, the other one was Keon Broxton. I didn't necessarily want him, but it's like, all right, if I get him, I'm not going to be concerned because I've got Kane and I actually have Eric Thames, and there's sort of the domino effect if a guy gets hurt. Didn't expect, but he stopped at 3, and I had other guys sort of earmarked for those spots, but Keon Broxton at 3.
Yeah, it just seems like too good of a deal with the upside.
Yeah, and it kind of blocked me from other things. I end up with Steven Dugar and my utility or my swingman, but he's going to start. He's at least going to play, and I do have Juan Lagares. If Dahl is sent down, I can put the Lagares there. So the end game didn't work out like I expected, but I'm not complaining about it.
I found that true not only in the American League yesterday. I found that kind of the same scenario to be true at Labor, which I can get into. But I wanted to real quickly, and just as an aside, we saw Max Scherzer, you and I, and Ron Chandler and Brian Feldman and Brian Walton and Jeff Winnick earlier this week in Florida, and he was lights out. Boy, was he good. It's just a spring game, but boy, was he good. Anyway, if we have a few minutes left, I wanted to talk a little bit about Scott Wilderman, who definitely has the young, high-end, high-potential, hit-or-miss team. He has J.P. Crawford for $9, Ronald Acuna for $20, Victor Robles for $7, and the aforementioned Ryan McCann for $9. So that's, 35, four spots on $50 tied up in a lot of, I hope so. Any thoughts about that and where that could go and what kind of a strategy that, how you think that might shake out, Todd, first?
Well, you do not get anything for second place in these leagues. So, and we should probably also mention that. I don't think Scott gets enough credit for being our host site on Roto.
That's correct.
And it's a wonderful site, and we should give Scott a little. And plus, he bends over backwards to help us out in the league. But anyway,
so he's a good guy.
Oh, he's an absolutely and he's a wonderful gentleman.
He's got a great. Oh no, I meant that in all with all due respect.
And the year that I won, he was a real pain in my tail because he came up from nowhere. He was the one that saved the money at the deadline, whoever it was at the deadline. I remember what it was, and then he was. If the season was like another week longer, I may not have a title under my belt. But anyway.
He's another mathematician, though.
It's about Scott. it's a high risk, high reward. Win or go home. And it's not bad at all. And even in the reserves, Tyson Ross, Homer Bailey, and Ryan Schimpf were all, hit or miss type of guys. So his entire team is built that way. I can't do that. That's just not my style. But I don't use it with respect. But I do respect, but I mean, that's not what I mean. But I applaud those that do try it.
It's the thing too, and part of the deal with Tout, there are a couple of things. One is ideally, and we talked about this on Friday during the Tout War special, is it is an exhibition league. The idea is we're trying to show how we think of the game, and obviously we all play to win, but we're also trying for the public to give you ideas on, and ourselves as well, on how to play different tactics, different strategies. So even though it might look like we're doing something outlandish, we're trying to figure out a way to win. And the kind of asterisk that goes with that is, especially these leagues, when you've been in them a few years, they are your home league. You know what right. everybody else is going to do, or at least what their tendencies are. So then the trick is, all right, I got to think of a different, we're talking about puzzles. I have to think of a completely different way of assembling the puzzle successfully. And that basically means going out on a limb, trying things and doing things that might look stupid, but there's a zillion ways to win, and figuring, you know, that's part of what we try to do is figure them out. So it might look like we don't care. It might look like we're just experimenting for the fun of it, but what we're really trying to do is just figure out a different way to the top. And let me tell you, it's not easy, because it's not easy in your local leagues either. If you're used to playing with everybody, it's really hard when you're used to playing against a bunch of guys and they're all seriously successful at it. There's usually in my home leagues, always there were usually two or three guys that just weren't with it. That's not true in Tout Wars. Everybody is deadly and everybody knows every trick. You're in your first. You're definitely a tout now, Justin. Do you find it's as much as maybe before you thought, I bet I could play that. Now it's sort of like, ooh, this is not that easy.
No, it's not, because you're not your home league. You got three or four guys who you know really don't know anything. They're not guys that are touts. There's you know a couple easy guys. You know, that you're going to be able to take advantage of in trades, or you know they're going to take some weird pick or spend too much money on the hot guy. These leagues, you know, there's no discounts. You know, you're not going to get away with things that you could probably get away with your home leagues.
We were talking on Friday that we don't. You know, in most leagues, there's guys who take a drink during the draft in home leagues. None of us have ever seen anybody even have a sip of beer during a Tout Wars draft. We're going to have to come back for more. We're going to hit the AL next, so I guess I get to talk about it. And so if you want to keep listening to me, then you want to keep listening to the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to Mafia, a new podcast telling stories of America's criminal underworld.
Gotti assumed the position of head of the Gambino family.
And using the name Donnie Brasco, I was able to infiltrate the Bonanno crime family in New York City.
Bugsy Siegel is an American mob legend.
One man changed the whole texture and landscape of crime in America.
Listen to Mafia every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows.